First order of business is introducing the members of the commission. My name is Ray Schmidt, chair and public member of the commission.
Wally Schlenk, I'm the ex officio member. I'm from RPU.
Steve Soltes, board member.
Rick Morris, citizen.
Kelly O'Marrow, member.
Matej Moran, EDF fellow.
Kelly Anderson, EDF fellow.
Craig Gordon, commission member.
Edward Cohen, board member.
Brian Morgan, commission member.
Michael Wojcik, city council.
Welcome, everyone. The first order of business is to ask for and receive any comments that members of the public might wish to make regarding business that would appropriately be of interest to the commission. Hearing none, there have been copies of the June meeting mission minutes, June meeting minutes distributed to you. And I would ask if there are any. First, I'd ask for a motion approving the minutes for the purposes of discussion.
Moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Real quick before we offer the discussion period. Under new business, I talked to Drew and pricing structure has been established for the community solar. That was, for some reason, that wasn't what he meant to say. So anyway, pricing structure is under consideration. It hasn't been established. So if we could make that small change, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Any other changes?
I have a question about the notes for the March meeting minutes. Was that actually the May meeting minutes that we saw in the first? Or is it actually March?
It's May. They don't have May available to approve yet.
Okay.
So it was last meeting we didn't have meeting minutes.
Okay, but then this would be May.
Yep. 12 hours. Yes.
I'm sorry, what is the change? The change we're making is that we approved the May meeting minutes?
In the minutes last,
right.
From last meeting, we did not approve the May minutes in the June meeting. It says March in the...
Yes.
So March to May. In the third section down from the top.
What did we approve?
We didn't approve any.
We didn't approve anything.
Right.
Oh, I see. Action delayed until minutes available.
Yeah.
All right. hearing no other comments, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Well, we have that on the floor. So, by consensus of the chair, we're voting on as amended with the comment that Wally made.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome, Mr. Attorney.
You're spending too much time in minutes. anyway, Michael says, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The item that I would like to move to, I invited Representative Norton to join us this afternoon. She is one of the individuals who was invited to participate in the trip and discussion with the cities in Germany regarding their energy plans and energy activities. I assume at some point we will get a report from the two city staff who attended those discussions also, but rather than waiting for their presumably more formal presentation, I thought that it might be interesting to hear your comments and observations concerning the what the Germans are doing and how it might play out in terms of what Rochester and the state of Minnesota can do. So I would appreciate your thoughts.
Sure. So I'm still a little jet lagged, so you'll have to pardon. My brain doesn't quite get going quite right on the first day or two back. But we had an opportunity. There were a delegation of 27 folks from the state of Minnesota, nonprofits, different legislative and city sectors, from five communities. Elk River, Morris, Warren, Rochester, and Duluth were the five cities chosen. And we were paired with other cities in Germany and had an opportunity to not only kind of get an overview of Germany's efforts toward, they call it climate smart municipalities, we might call it energy sustainability, probably more palatable politically to call it that. But so we had the overview, and then we went to, we started in Dusseldorf and went to Saarbeck, which was an absolutely fascinating tour, but then three other communities. So I'll just start with Dusseldorf, partly because of the comments you made about Mark. I really, several of us, Dave Sundrum and I in particular, really pushed the city to put their name in to be a part of this program to see if they could get the grant, you know, be chosen as one of the cities. And I think we pushed, and there maybe wasn't the excitement from folks here as much as there was from the legislators pushing. But I think after the experience, that has changed. And that made me feel really good. And one of the things on the first day while we were in Germany that we went to see a burner, combined burner and heat and power, and it was brand new and a couple years old, and Mark got really excited. He said, if we see nothing else, this is on my Christmas list. So I knew we had a winner.
Big engineering things appeal to big engineering people.
I know.
Yes.
I know, but I knew that was a really nice start. So we started that in Dusseldorf and then went to Saarbeck, and to me that was really, just to give you an overview, it's a town of 7,200, and I've got a couple of handouts here, which I'm happy to pass around, but it's a tiny little town, and they have absolutely become a leader in renewable energy and sustainable energy. And so they have not only embraced it in their community, which was their first start, but their schools, their children, they built an energy park that has eight wind turbines. They turned a military ammunition site into a solar and wind park, renewable energy. They do biomass, methane recapture, and it's everything. The bunkers, the ammunition bunkers now hold 45 solar arrays on the campus, and they have an educational room, and the kids come out. But the town itself, they made energy transparent. And so they opened the face of their building, their energy building, made it glass. They put in wood pellet burners that you can see when you walk by. So everybody knows where the energy is coming from, and all the buildings have kilowatt hour runners on them, so you can tell, you know, how much energy is being used in each building. The schools, the kids help put solar panels out on the schools. It's just phenomenal. But the community has wholly embraced it. And they're also, and I posted stuff on Facebook, and as I traveled, mostly energy related, but some architectural too. But the communities in Germany, particularly Munster, which is our sister city, which was our next major stop, is a completely, city center is completely encircled by a promenade that is all tree lined on both sides, and it has multiple paths on it. So there's paths for people walking their dogs, there's paths for the runners, there's paths for bikers, and there's paths for walkers, and it encircles the whole city, and then there are not cars in the inner city, inside the promenade. And it's about five, it's not miles, but kilometers or whatever they use. around the outside and the inside, there aren't cars, so there are parking garages on the perimeter. So if you want to drive into the city from outside, you drive in and you park in the parking garage, and you have to walk, bus, bike, in the inside, or you ride your bike, and most people walk or ride their bike, and it's the bike capital of Europe for certain. There are 2.2 bikes per person, man, woman, child, infant. So there are 300,000-400,000 bikes in Munster, and it looked to me like they were all on the road at the same time. But they have a underground parking garage. They park 3,500 bikes every day, like you would your cars. You can pay a small fee, and it's double-deckered, and your bike's watched for you while you're there the whole time. And then you can get on the bus right outside there and go to wherever you want to go or walk. And Munster was fascinating in its, there's no tension between modes of transportation. And as you're walking through all the cities in Germany, you work around the bikes and the bikes work around you, and no one's upset. And that's when cars happen to be down the roads too. Everybody just manages all this together, and people here that go, I think, see it as a bit miraculous, but it was fascinating. So we saw just about every kind of energy source that you can think of. We talked a lot about closed-loop systems and closed-loop communities. Most of these communities are trying to be, you know, net zero on their energy use. They produce and use what they can, whether it be an industry or a community. And they're doing a really great job of it. The challenge for bringing something like these concepts back here in a bigger way is that we don't have the urgency, and many people don't have the belief in the issues of climate issues, for one. And the need is very real there with the sustainable energy, because they see they've always seen in Europe the high prices of gasoline and fuel and oil that we haven't necessarily seen. But they don't want to be reliant on anyone else. They want to do it themselves, and they're committed to that. And I don't sense that same feeling by the majority of folks here in Minnesota or in the United States. I know there's definitely interest, but I think it will be a tougher challenge for us to convince people of the need for this, but I think there's ways to do it. And I think Mark and Mitzi can share with you. Mitzi's got kind of an interesting take from some conversations she had with some of the leaders that we met with, the mayors of each of these communities and their city administrators and people who really understand the energy sector better than I. I'm a neophyte on this. This is a brand new area for me to get involved in. We'll be able to talk to you about the real specifics about the things that they learned there and the things they think they can bring back here. I know Mitzi in particular was interested in the transportation components. Mark certainly has different, probably, things that he found fascinating. But for me, looking over all that policy, I think there's a lot we can do, but a lot of it's going to depend on how we message. So I don't know specifically, Ray, if there was something.
As I say, I was hopeful, you know, sharing your opinion of what's going on and what you found to be when the representatives were here, a couple of years ago. One of the things that came up at the public meeting was obviously some of our good folk here challenging them, saying, well, you know, climate change doesn't exist and all these sorts of things. And they had some interesting comments about how they manage that discussion in Germany. And I'm curious what you thought on this trip about what was happening. How is it going? They have even more shut down their nuclear plants. They are
still moving ahead with that. Yeah, and you know, they have the issue of we toured a mining town and a coal plant, or a steel plant, but the coal issue is very real there. It's something that they produce, and so there's a sensitivity to getting away from coal, so they don't talk about that quite as much. They talk more about getting away from nuclear, and I think the citizenry are the ones that pushed for that more than the government, actually, so because of what happened in Japan. So I think I don't think they need to be convinced there about the need. I think more it's the specific type ways that they're doing it. But they have the same arguments that we do. You know, wind turbines might be too loud, but we stood underneath and held meetings under wind turbines the whole time we were there. They're not that loud, and you know, moving yourself a few feet away is all it takes. It's not, I mean, and that was something I heard from people quite a bit over the last couple of years about, you know, and the concerns with nature and birds and that sort of thing. But we toured in a number of these different types of facilities, and they said the resistance that they had once they were built has really gone away. That one, like Munster told us, that the biking ramp that they have, the parking garage that they have, that the people hated it when they came up with the idea, and they decided it was a good idea and went ahead with it anyway. And of course, now it's jam-packed full, and there are hundreds of thousands of bikes everywhere on the street and parked inside and out. They do have despite the fact that everyone owns 2.5 bikes there, they do still have theft issues. People steal bikes, although they're pretty utilitarian, I will say. They're little baskets and bells on all of them. They get stolen and taken to other countries and, you know, throughout Europe. So that's when the theft goes on. It's not because you need a bike, everybody has a bike. And if you have a really expensive bike that you want to protect, you put it in the parking garage for, you know, I don't even know what it is, less than a pound a day. But no, people really seem to have embraced it in the communities. These communities who have gone ahead, the community members really seem to have embraced it. So I think we have the challenge here, but I think they've overcome that.
Any other thoughts from the commission members? Michael?
Curious if do they have stated goals in terms of what they're trying to accomplish with their climate policy?
Well, they have, I'd have to dig it out, but they have like their national policy and goals, and it's to support and the Paris Agreement and all that. But then each of these communities was, because they really are, they're setting the goal, but they're letting communities all do it in their own way. Whatever resources they have, whatever community can support, so, or the municipalities as they're calling it. So they're each choosing different things. Some, I mean, there's solar everywhere. Some of the communities really went strong with wind. Others are using, you know, wood pellets, a combination of a variety of different things. But they're letting them do that, and the communities, some of them have set higher goals, actually, than the Paris Agreement and that whole thing. So, you know, I think the country is setting, they want to have renewables by 2050, you know, it's 80% or what, I'd have to look. It's too foggy to remember the details.
Was their density noticeably higher than when we build out our communities here?
Is density?
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a couple of things. It's fascinating. They have, they've always had very strict rules in Germany about where, they're full of rules actually, but about where the homes will be built. The size of the lots are uniform. Where you place your home on the lot, you can't place it in the back. It has to be up front and center in a lot. And I actually queried people specifically about this. I said, how do you tell who's rich and who's poor in your town? And you can't tell because every house looks exactly the same. They're all red brick. Zarbeck is an example. Depends upon when the age of the community, when it developed. But Zarbeck is a relatively new community. They're all red brick. They can be no more than three stories. One difference you might see is someone might have a two-story and someone might, you know, or one or two and someone might have three. But they all look exactly the same. They all are neat as a pin. I've never seen a town quite as perfect as Zarbeck. It's sort of out of storybook. You can't believe it. But they have some interesting rules, like you can't, in every business, an employee has to have access to a window light. And so their buildings are typically hollow, or they have a courtyard in the center so that every office has access to sunlight. There are no basement offices. There are skylights sometimes. We saw an interesting use of a skylight in a large building that they wanted to utilize. They put a gigantic skylight, it's probably bigger than this table, maybe twice as big, as the sets of tables, and they had water in it about 4 inches deep, but that allowed them to use that space below it because it had access to sunlight. So they just have gotten really creative, but they're very dense. Buildings are all very dense, even in the business districts, but they're uniform as well. So, yeah. But they have a lot of millions of people crammed in a country the size of the state of Minnesota, so.
Any discussion of how young people are involved through, maybe through schools mm-hmm. or groups or?
Yep, they had, particularly in Czarbeck, they have 1,000 students in their schools. It's a K-12 campus.